37. Nightmare Incarnate.
There are few places left in this world where one might find a Gangolin. Most men believe them to be extinct, nothing more than the stuff of myth. Oh, are they wrong? I have heard rumors that packs roam the desert of ash in the Forsaken Lands. But I found my two in the heart of the Malar Woods.
From Kolvinar Vryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 251. Twigs and leaves crunched beneath Amandal's feet as he ran. Frantic, he leapt over a fallen branch as thick as his waist. He landed with a thud as a honking shrill washed over the woodland. The call of a Gangolin.
Have to get away.
Heart thumping, he ran down a dirt path between thick trees. The lowest branches hung three or four stories above him, while their tops reached to incredible heights. He had spent nearly 6 months among those trees, and now he had returned.
But when did I leave Tardalim?
Another honking shrill shook the trees. Leaves rustled and some fell, while the branches swayed. The ground shook, and Amandal tripped and fell. He hit the ground as another cry filled the air. He groaned, but before he could stand, the ground shook again, accompanied by a distant boom. Heart beating faster, he looked over his shoulder. The shaking and booming continued while the nearby branches bounced. Several trees fell, one crashing upon the path several hundred finials away. In its place was a towering beige limb, the forearm of a Gangolin.
"Have to get away," he muttered.
Once the ground stilled, Amandal pushed himself up and ran. The Gangolin's deafening cry filled the air much closer than before. Leaves rustled again, some falling around him.
Have to run. Have to run.
Amandal dashed down the path, crunching more leaves.
Too loud. Too loud.
The Gangolin would hear the crunching. It would definitely hear the crunching. Another cry shook the trees, but this time it was answered in kind. The second honking shrill was distant, fainter.
Not another, not another.
Amandal,
a deep voice called from the trees. Shaking his head, Amandal pushed himself to run faster, faster, faster.
Have to run faster.
An annoyed sigh left the trees, but soon faded. Amandal glanced over his shoulder, and something red passed between the trees to his left. Was it another beast? Someone else in the trees?
I hope the Gangolins eat it first. Yes, eat it first.
The path ahead of him curved to the right, ascending at a shallow grade. Soon the trees thinned, and a large clearing appeared, partially surrounded by a cliff wall that rose three stories and spread as far as he could see through the trees.
Where to go?
He muttered, turning back and forth. Where to go?
You truly are deranged.
That deep voice said, chuckling.
Who's there?
Amandal spun. Standing on the path was the old codger, running a hand through his long white hair. He wore his blood-red robe, remarkably free from dirt.
How did he stay clean?
Amandal's lips twisted in distaste. The codger sighed.
Well, now, it seems you have crafted yourself quite the nightmare.
Amandal clenched his jaw and his fists.
Nightmare? What nightmare?
He was in the forest, the Malar forest, catching Gangolins.
Yes, catching Gangolins.
Your repetitions are irritating, the codger said. Come with me, Amandal.
No!
Amandal spun and ran for the cliff. He had to climb and keep running. Before he could grab the earthen wall, the codger spoke again.
You can escape this nightmare if you come with me. If not, the Gangolins you've created will keep chasing you no matter how far you run.
Finding a handhold, Amandal began his climb. The honking shrills shook the forest and the cliff wall. Dirt fell and Amandal raised his eyes. The blue sky was clear beyond the treetops. That was the first time he had been able to see the sky since entering the forest.
But when did I enter the forest?
You didn't, the codger called. You're dreaming, Amandal. You are still in Tardalim.
Too real to be a dream,
he thought, nearly halfway up the cliff.
Too real.
Gangolin cries shook the trees again, knocking a rock loose from the cliff wall. It fell, nearly hitting Amandal's arm.
Faster, faster!
Another pair of calls filled the air as Amandal pulled himself atop the cliff. He clawed his way across the ground until his feet dangled no more. Now on solid ground, Amandal ran again. There was no path, so he leapt over tree roots and fallen branches. Ominous birdsong sounded in the trees. A flash of red appeared ahead of him, becoming the old codger.
"Get out of my way!"
Amandal shouted through clenched teeth. The codger shook his head, and Amandal darted to the right, tripping over an exposed root.
"Look at you," the codger said with a sigh. "You're so crazed that you can't even realize where you are."
"Not a dream," he thought, pushing himself up. "Not a dream."
A honking shrill blew through the trees, followed by another. Both were close.
"You can't run from them forever, Amandal. Come with me."
More Gangolin calls filled the air as Amandal ran deeper into the forest. Four calls. They were all around him.
What to do? What to do?
He staggered over uneven ground and fell, landing upon the forest floor half a story below where he had come from.
"You're still in Tardalim,"
the codger called, now ahead of Amandal.
How could he move so quickly?
Amandal squinted at the white-haired man as the four Gangolins cried again, one ahead, two behind, and one to the right.
"I'm trapped."
The codger shook his head, an amused smile spreading across his face.
"Oh, if you could only see yourself," the codger said, chuckling. "Others will have no doubt about your madness now. Of course, some already thought that because of your eccentric behavior. But now you are truly mad."
Amandal parted his lips and raised his eyebrows. The Gangolin calls grew louder. The ground shook behind him, followed by a boom.
"It's coming!"
He looked over his shoulder, but he couldn't see the creature. Only the trees and small patches of blue sky were behind him.
"Maybe I can let them pass," he muttered, looking around.
The ground behind him was hollowed out, a shallow cavity within the dirt. He could hide there, dig a hole so he could cover himself.
Yes, yes, that would work.
Determined, Amandal clawed at the dirt. Clumps of rock, grass, and dirt fell around him. The cavity grew, but it wasn't big enough yet.
"Perhaps I can dig a tunnel," he nodded. That's how he could escape. A tunnel out of the forest. I could dig to the other side of the world.
He chuckled and nodded.
"They wouldn't find me then."
The ground shook repeatedly, and a deafening cacophony of booms filled the air. Both rustled the leaves, causing many to fall around him.
"Digging will not help you,"
the codger said, his voice over Amandal's right shoulder.
"I don't know if I can put this more simply, but you are deranged, crazed by the quarzophage that Orath Issian sprays from his gills."
"Orath Issian?"
Amandal wondered, still clawing at the dirt. The vague memory of a black monster came to him, but it felt distant, as if it were a dream.
"Yes, that's the dream, not this."
"Oh, you're a stubborn one,"
the codger said with a sigh.
"Typically, quarzophage sends a person into a delusional frenzy that strips all their mental faculties except the physiological urge to run. It overstimulates the mind, causing a cascade of overpowering stimuli that cannot be stopped. Not even our pran magic can halt it."
The codger continued spewing nonsense as the shaking intensified.
"Have to keep digging," he thought, clawing at the dirt.
"If you had not consumed those umbiliums, you wouldn't be able to think. You would be no more than a terrified primitive animal."
The codger chuckled, amused at his nonsense.
"You wouldn't even be here. I imagine Orath Issian would have steered clear of you if he knew you had eaten the Tuladine fruit. Now you will be quite formidable."
His chuckling grew to laughter, so loud it carried through the trees. The codger's mirth sent a shock of fright through Amandal.
"He's drawing them to me!"
Ever frantic, he clawed faster. He had to escape. He could go through the ground, he knew it.
"It is all far beyond your understanding," the codger said, pacing to Amandal's left. "But when the residue of the umbiliums and quarzophage met, they formed something different that spread through your veins. That new substance altered your mind, expanding some of your mental capacities while diminishing others."
The codger grabbed Amandal's shoulder and the ground stilled. The Gangolin's booming footsteps faded. All was silent within the forest. Hands in the dirt, Amandal straightened and studied the forest. The leaves were still. Not even a breeze rustled them. Everything was quiet, peaceful. But he still had to run. He had to get away. Pulling his hands from the dirt, Amandal spun. The codger stood in his way, but Amandal danced around him and bounded onto another dirt path. Had it been there before?
"Come now, Amandal. You're safe."
Amandal ran with all his might, but after a short dash, the ground shook. The forest floor groaned as he tripped, falling on the dirt. No, something hard. Sharp pangs shot through his ribs and up his arms. The other falls in the forest hadn't been this painful. They hadn't been painful at all. He gritted his teeth against the pain, but started in surprise. Instead of dirt, a black surface, smooth and polished as if it were stone, spread beneath him. Was it obsidian?
What?
The polished ground heaved upward. A force pressed Amandal against the black surface as leaves and branches crashed all around him. Soon the rising ground cleared the treetops. A yellow sky spread above the forest, spotted with crimson clouds, partly obscuring a blue sun. The nearby treetops disappeared, and so did the horizon. But how and why did the sky change? The upheaval settled, and the force pinning Amandal dissipated. Panic flooded his mind, and he struggled to his feet. He staggered forward, but something stopped him. He jolted, held in place at his arms and legs by something hard.
"Not so fast," the codger said, his footsteps echoing off the polished ground. "I'd hate for you to fall to your death."
Blinking quickly, Amandal darted a glance to his arms. They were encased within pillars of black stone rising from the strange ground. His feet were also wrapped in the stone.
How had that happened?
It didn't matter. He had to run. He had to get free.
"Relax,"
the codger said, now standing in front of Amandal. "I have to get out," Amandal cried.
"Let me go!"
The codger shook his head.
"We have much to discuss, my friend."
He had called Amandal that before. This was no friend. He was a delusion, yes, conjured from my imagination.
"Call me what you wish,"
the codger said, pacing to the left. Amandal followed him with his eyes. The polished ground was a large, jagged oval, half the size of a Sarothian city block, and he was standing in the middle of it. Shaking his head, he glanced beyond the oval. The trees beyond the black ground looked tiny. How high had the ground risen? The codger chuckled.
"It is a staggering height."
He returned to Amandal, stopping an arm's length away.
"Now that you're out of that dream, your thoughts should become clearer."
"But am I not still here in the forest?"
Besides the strange sky and sun, the forest was just as it had been. Well, except for the lack of Gangolins.
But it felt different.
He thought of his hasty flight, but the thought was fleeting, like trying to recall images from a dream after waking.
Why hadn't I used my magic?
He could have defended himself against the Gangolins with his conjurations, or sucked them through a portal. That thought evoked an involuntary cackle. The codger smiled and nodded as if he were approving of something.
"That is good. Your reasoning is returning."
Amandal set his jaw and squinted at the old codger. The urge to run lessened. If he weren't so high above the forest, he would probably be struggling still.
"That's not to say your insanity will dissipate. Eventually the quarzophage will leave your body, but its effects will remain. It is much like Solastum. Whatever it touches cannot be changed by any part of the Arpran channel. Unfortunately, that is a price you will have to pay.
What price? Amandal spat.
The codger's jovial demeanor waned, though he still looked somewhat amused.
Why, the price of fulfilling your destiny, of course. Yes, you retrieved the Shonok, but this, he gestured up and down, was also a necessity. Once you are free from the Quasiphage, your thought processes will be sharper than anyone's. You will be able to see patterns where most see chaos. Take Todalim, for example. A normal man might stare at that three-dimensional map for years and not learn the patterns. But you could probably perceive the entirety of Todalim's functioning in a matter of days.
Amandal cocked his head and leaned back as far as he could.
And your abilities in the magical arts will improve tenfold. Combined with your natural talents, you will become an unstoppable force. You shall supersede the greatest conjurers who ever walked the face of Kaldah.
It seems I have gone mad, Amandal thought.
The codger resumed pacing.
Of course your mind is not as keen as the Mali Shah's. No mortal could ever hope to attain such grandeur.
Amandal blinked in confusion. What had happened to him? And how had he imagined all these strange words? He thought back before his hasty flight through the forest. Images were blurred to near incomprehension. But one stood out. A vibrant, violet eye, unnatural in form and size. The mere thought of it sent a surge of terror through him.
Good. You are remembering.
The codger stopped pacing and studied Amandal.
And your heart is slowing.
Was it?
Amandal looked to his chest, turning his thoughts inward. His heart was beating slower. The codger turned away, staring toward the horizon. Amandal followed his gaze. The blue sun had dipped below the clouds. After a while, the old codger finally spoke.
Now that you're calm, we can talk of other matters, particularly your impending flight from Todalim.
Amandal chuckled, then let his mirth explode.
I really am crazy. How ironic.
Now that he wasn't running, the delusion wanted him to run.
Escaping Todalim is of the utmost importance, the codger said. You must flee with Finch. After all, he's the only one you can trust.
That wasn't true. I can trust Ilden, Morgi, and Felinia. Felinia.
Thinking of her, he smiled. The codger raised an eyebrow.
No, you really can't trust them. You must depart, and only with Finch. Leave the others behind.
Amandal shook his head.
I'm not a coward.
Ah, there's that dim-witted bravery.
The codger droned on and on, elaborating on the reasons Amandal must leave Todalim, and why no one else could accompany him. But Amandal didn't care in the slightest. He would not leave his friends or Felinia. Annoyed, Amandal raised his chin and turned away from the codger. The old fool had nothing important to say.
You are what matters here, Amandal. No one else. This expedition is expendable.
Amandal snorted and kept his nose in the air.
You have done what was required of you, the codger said in a firm tone, as if he was scolding a child. Now flee, once you awake. There are powers beyond your understanding, powers other than Orath Issian, who are converging upon you, and though your mind has expanded, you are not a match for them.
I'm not deserting my friends,
the old codger growled. Amandal grinned. Now look who's annoyed.
Fine, the codger said with a sigh. Begone!
Yellow and red streaks whirled past Amandal, and he felt himself falling. The light soon dispersed and became a terrifying black pit, but the blackness was fleeting. Amandal blinked, finding himself within a tent.
Am I still dreaming?
Faint conversations carried through the canvas. They all spoke of danger and retreating. Was he back in the roost? While sifting through his memories, Amandal wiggled his fingers and toes.
Ooh, they work.
You're awake,
Finch said in his nasally voice. He hovered in front of Amandal, his trunk nearly touching Amandal's nose.
Well, hello to you too.
Amandal pushed Finch's trunk aside and sat upright. Finch blinked, a smile forming upon the end of his trunk. Amandal looked past the winged creature to Ildin's cot. To his surprise, Velinia lay upon it, wrapped in a blanket.
Velinia,
he called, swiftly crossing the tent. Finch fluttered beside him, staying close. Amandal knelt beside the cot as she stirred, turning slowly to face him. Velinia blinked several times, then violently sat upright. She murmured his name, then reached out and stroked his face. He smiled at her touch.
I must have drifted off, she said. Are you okay?
Amandal nodded.
I suppose. I mean, I'm not wounded, am I?
He patted his arms, his stomach, and lastly his hips.
Nothing's missing.
Velinia narrowed her eyes, studying him up and down.
The old codger says I'm crazy, but what does he know?
Amandal snickered.
He's just a delusion.
A wary expression formed on Felinia's face. Why was she worried? She cupped Amandal's face between her hands.
What's wrong with you?
Nothing.
She didn't think he was crazy, did she?
Hopefully she's not like Miss Ficklefoot's.
Felinia sucked in her breath.
We have to find Silas.
Finch, did she or the others return at all?
Finch shook his head.
Just some two-leg.
What some two-leg would that be? Amandal demanded, tilting his chin and squinting one eye.
What'd he look like?
He wasn't wrinkly, was he? The winged creature blinked twice before shaking his head.
He didn't say his name.
Finch fluttered across the tent, settling beside Amandal's pouch.
But he took the blue rock from in here.
Blue rock? He felt at his chest, but the Rogolin necklace was gone.
The bastard stole my crystal!